Welcome to the Dashboard Effect Podcast. I'm Brick Thompson.
I'm Caleb Oakes.
How's it going, Caleb?
Pretty good.
Good. All right. So today we're going to talk about Snowflake. This is a tool that launched back in 2014, but has really been gaining momentum. We're seeing it more and more out in the market. It's interesting. It's a cloud-based data warehouse, sort of for data analytics and reporting, a tool that sits on top of other cloud services, Azure, AWS, and Google. And it's getting a lot of traction. They're making a lot of noise out in the marketplace. And it gets generally really good reviews from its users and has some things going for it for sure. But there's also some downsides, and we want to kind of just talk through the good and bad of that.
Yeah, right. I mean, a lot of our clients are bringing this up as we talk to them. And, you know, we've seen some people not have the knowledge they need to make a good decision here. So hopefully we can shed some light on what the pros and cons are and help somebody out.
Yeah. All right. Well, so let's talk through the pros. I mean, the first one that comes up a lot, you see it on their marketing materials and people tell you about it, is that you don't need an SME, an expert, to run Snowflake, to run your data warehouse, because they've put this simplified layer, this software as a service on top of the platform as a service, the Azure and AWS and so on. That is kind of an advantage, for sure.
Yeah, it can be, right? Depending on your situation and the talent that you have available. Definitely can be.
Yeah. I think where that can kind of backfire on you is you definitely do need someone that has some technical ability. They've got to learn how to use that Snowflake system. But you may also, because of the simplicity, that simple layer, lose some capabilities to do various configurations and things that you might want to do on the underlying platforms, but you can't.
Yeah. Whenever you think about simplification, it usually means limitation. Those two things usually go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Right. If I saw this funny graphic the other day, it was like, here's you wondering why your app is not getting the usage it needs. And it's like Google. It's like Google has a search bar, right? And it says, you know, you search. And then it's Apple. You know, it's just some very simple thing. It's like your app, and it's like got all these 1,000 different things on it. So I thought that was interesting, and it kind of plays in here too, because that's essentially what Snowflake has done, like taking away a lot of the things that you might need, maybe not, but you might need, and they just kind of get rid of them. Like hide them from you, really don't give you the control over them, but make the UI simpler and easier to use.
Okay. So there's definitely advantage, especially for some users, for that. So I get that. Some other pluses, at least as Snowflake sells them, is that they're serverless. So you're not spinning up, you know, SQL Server VMs and that type of thing. They're handling all of that for you behind the scenes. This cross-cloud deployment, so you don't have to be married to Azure or AWS or Google. You can be on whatever systems you want. They separate workload clusters, so you can get some performance advantages there, although there's a downside of that. And various things that they do to make performance good. You can quickly scale it up and down, automatic performance tuning. Well, we'll talk about that in a second too. And then again, as I said at the beginning, you know, they get good user reviews. So it's not just smoke and mirrors. I mean, there are things people really like about it.
Yeah. Right. And a lot of those things you mentioned are not, you know, necessarily specific to Snowflake. You know, they're scaling up and down. That's really more cloud
right.
native than anything. And some automatic performance tuning, you can get those in other tools. But those are all things that I do think that are, you know, pros to using something like Snowflake.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk about some of the cons, and some of these go hand in hand with the pros. You know, one of the cons, and actually might be sold as a pro, is you don't have parameters, you don't have key management, you don't have tuning, as we just said, all that stuff. It's a pro unless you want to do some tuning.
Yeah, right. Typically what we find is that people are super excited about Snowflake at first, right? And, you know, because it's easy, it kind of gets you up and going, and you make some progress fast. And it might actually be some genius there in how they get that going for you. You get you up to speed quick, but then you start hitting the like, man, I really wish I had this available to me, or I wish I could do that, or I wish I didn't have to copy this data, which I'll talk more about in a second. But there is some drawbacks once you really get it in there and you get your hands there and you start doing more advanced stuff. It's a lot like, it's honestly a lot like Power BI, right? Power BI kind of sells itself as you can connect to anything and do whatever you want. And that while that's true, there's definitely limitations on what Power Query is going to do for you.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. And so you can take it to a certain point and then it just gets frustrating and slow because that's not the right tool for the job, right. You know?
You're going to use a different tool. You're going to do some custom programming, that type of thing.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Okay. So as I think about the disadvantages, one thing I keep coming back to is cost. It sort of gets woven into a lot of the other things that we talk about as advantages and disadvantages. And this really came up for us as we were talking to a former colleague who's now at a company that uses Snowflake. And his, in addition to some technical quibbles that he had and some real issues, cost was the thing that was really the concern for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he told me a story where they, you know, some of the developers spun up or, you know, scaled way up to run some queries. And then those queries were just taking forever. And it ultimately cost them like $17,000 just in a few days to run this stuff. So it's not like he's getting a credit back on that, right?
No,
it's used, it's done. You know, he had to go to the CFO and be like, hey, can we just grab some more money?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is one of those issues that is sort of the flip side of the pro, which is you don't have constraints, data constraints. Go ahead, do what you need to do. Whereas on the other platforms, you know, you have to explicitly go and spin up additional resource before you're going to spend it. It's not, well, I guess it is pay as you go, but yeah, you're not going to end up with those kind of surprise, what was it, $17,000 bills.
Yeah, I think it was something like that. Don't quote me on it, but it was something, it was some outrageous amount.
Yeah, I saw a study as I was reading some articles getting ready for this podcast that some people did. Actually, I saw it quoted across a bunch of different sites that Redshift on AWS is 1.3 times less expensive than Snowflake for just on-demand. But that if you buy the Redshift, if you know what you're going to use, you buy it a year in advance, it's 1.9 times less expensive. I'm assuming that's half. That's kind of weird way to state it. And if you do 3 years, it's 3.7 times less. So it can be a lot more expensive even for the same usage, let alone if you have someone by mistake leave some hairy query running for a long time.
Right, right. And that's, you know, that's that type of reserved instance thing is what we're seeing more and more of with AWS and Azure. You know, one of the reasons when Azure Synapse, before it was Azure Synapse, it was Azure SQL Data Warehouse. And one of the reasons why we didn't use it very often was it's really expensive.
Yeah.
The cheapest one you could get was, it was like $900 a month. You
right.
know, and a lot of our clients just didn't need that. They needed a $150 a month database to run their stuff. But, as that technology has progressed and as these cloud providers are becoming more and more advanced, they're doing things like this reserved instance. It's saving a bunch of money. So
yeah.
Azure Synapse is so much more within reach for a lot more of our clients than it used to be. So you can do that 3 year reserved and it's, you know, $300 a month
right.
for a really hyperscale, big time enterprise class database and data warehousing solution. It's pretty cool.
Right. And you can still scale it up and down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At will, but you know what it's going to cost you when you do that. You're
right.
Sort of, you're not getting surprised by it.
Right. Yeah. A little bit better controls there. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the other big cons is something we touched on before, which is you've got automatic tuning. But the flip side of that is, and I understand this from our developer colleague, flip side is that if the automatic tuning doesn't work, you're sort of out of luck. That's it.
Yeah, right. The way to get around that is to create a copy of the table and index it differently. Like you take, let's say you got a row or a table of 10 million rows.
Okay.
And the query you want to run is just slow. You can't add an index to that table. You can only have one way to index a table. It's their clustering key. So what you have to do is you create a copy of all 10 million rows into another table that has a different clustering key in order to run that query. Now, that might not sound like that big of a deal, and storage costs in Snowflake is extremely cheap. The problem is that is going to lead to so much confusion for people that, oh no, if you want to run that query, you had to point at this table,
yeah,
not that table.
Okay.
Right? And that's only if you got two versions of it.
Right.
Right. You're going to run many queries against tables. So you might end up with 10 copies of the same data.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's a good point. Another thing that I've read about, and actually that this fellow mentioned, was that the user interface is not fully developed for everything that's sort of underneath it on the platform. So for the stuff that it's been developed for, it's pretty darn slick. But then there's stuff that it's just not developed for. So you're either running queries to change parameters, that type of thing, or not changing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the cool things about Snowflake is that they have this data marketplace.
Yeah.
So you can just go out to a bunch of different data providers and pull their data into your Snowflake instance. Kind of cool. You do have to pay for it, but it, you know, yeah, it's kind of an interesting perk.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I know. Another one was RBAC, role-based access control. Mm. That some of the ways, some of the, there's good security in Snowflake, don't get me wrong. Like, you can really protect stuff. But there were some things about how RBAC works that may not be intuitive, and you may have inheritance and stuff that's going to lead to exposing objects down the road that you didn't mean to. That may just be something that, you know, they need to develop further, or you need training to be careful on. But the opinion of the fellow I talked to sounded like it was easier to make a mistake on that than, say, on Synapse.
Yeah, right. Right. I mean, that's another, I guess, a con of Snowflake, is that you have to, finding someone who's done everything in Snowflake is going to be a lot harder than finding a SQL DBA, right?
Oh, that's true.
And something like Azure SQL or Azure Synapse, that, all that stuff is going to be very familiar to a DBA that's done SQL before.
Worked on SQL Server, yeah, especially worked on Azure, and yeah.
Right, right. It's going to be very familiar, so a lot less of a learning curve. So, you know, one of the drawbacks, I guess.
I think one of the other potential drawbacks is maybe not perfect synergy with the underlying platforms. So if you're on Azure Synapse, it's very easy to use all that connected stuff they've got, their machine learning stuff, their AI stuff. I'm sure you can use that same stuff with your Snowflake data that's sitting on Azure or on Synapse, I would assume. But it's just not quite maybe as transparent how that integration works.
Yeah. I mean, you can even think of even just Power BI. If you have a Snowflake database that you're connecting to, you have to go turn on a setting inside of the Power BI admin portal to say, allow Snowflake. I think you probably run the connection anyway, but you want to turn on SSO for Snowflake so you can use your Azure AD credentials. It's just not quite as smooth with everything else that you might be doing. Snowflake's kind of its own deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like there probably are cases where Snowflake could be a benefit. But it seems like if you're operating at scale, if you have technical staff, you want to probably think hard about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. I mean, if you're worried about, you know, long-term recurring costs, you should definitely think about it, right? Because Snowflake is going to, it's easier to get out of control. You can keep it under control, but it's going to be easier to get yourself into a tough spot there. And it's just going to be straight up more expensive.
Yeah.
And it's because you're paying for that UI and the ease of doing things, you know, that stuff that they've developed to sit on top of your database and kind of the raw stuff that you would do if you were just dealing with the database itself.
Yeah. There's no special magic in Snowflake for how it gets you access to data. You're still writing SQL queries or connecting with Tableau or Power BI or some other tool, right?
Right. Yeah, you are. That's a really good point. I mean, you still have to query it.
Right.
Right. With all of these tools, I mean, there's lots more than just Snowflake too out there that, you know, it might look really pretty and shiny, but at the end of the day, you're querying data.
Right.
Right. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So, but you know, hopefully that is helpful for people to hear that, because, you know, you're right. There's no magic there.
Yeah.
Right. They might show you some pretty graphics of all this data going into Snowflake, and it's like, yeah, you can put all that data anywhere.
Sure.
You know, right. In any database technology, well, it's probably overstated, but in most of them nowadays, in all the new technology, you can do that. So, you know, don't get wooed
Yeah, yeah.
Really,
well, they've got great marketing, and I don't mean that as a slight. I mean it's really good. Mm-hmm. I attended one of their webinars. It was slick. But during the hands-on portion, I was writing SQL queries. So
exactly.
Right. All right. Anything else we should cover on this?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, thanks, Caleb.
Cool. Thanks, Greg.
See you soon.
See ya.